blessings upon our gifts. You may be seated. We're about to read a story that is riddled with theological landmines that have exploded all over the place throughout the centuries and are still live today. So much so that it's easy to want to avoid this text altogether, especially when we have a competing version only a chapter earlier. It would probably be a lot cleaner if we just ditched this story entirely because of all the mess that has come from reading it and figuring out how to apply it all these years. Yes, this is the story of Adam and Eve. The story responsible for original sin. The story that has been used to subjugate women as the help and convince society that men have some sort of right to be suspicious of women and claim their superiority. It's the story that homophobic Bible thumpers use to rationalize their fear of loving gay couples like poor old Adam and Steve. This is the story that makes us ashamed of our bodies and uncomfortable with sexuality. The story that enforces emotional enmeshment and fusion over and against healthy, independent togetherness. It's the story that has been used to argue that man has dominion over animals. And this is the story that gave snakes a bad rap. It's totally not fair because, Darby, I love your snake. He's always welcome here, at least on Blessing of the Animals Day. So you go home and you tell him that I don't believe a word of it. But even with all of the problems that came from the way people interpreted this story, I gotta admit, it's still a good story. Now before we read it, let's tackle some of those problems because the truth is they're not entirely inherent in the text. It's not the story's fault that humans interpreted it the way we did. First off, original sin, the fall of man. When we read the story, make sure you pay special attention to that part, okay? Why? Because it's not actually there. We can thank Augustine of Hippo for that. He's the one who says that Eve sinned because she ate the, what was that fruit again she ate? The what? Nope, better put your listening ears on because there's a lot in the story that we tell that's not in the story in our Bibles. What about the subjugation of women? Better check our translations and make sure we're reading it right. Now, traditionally, we all know about God taking Adam's rib, right? But scholars like feminist theologian Phyllis Trible have noted that in reality, a better understanding and interpretation is side rather than rib. So God took the side of the Adam, the human, and extricating it, making a partner, not a helper, thereby separating the androgynous being into two distinct sexes. This reading implied that man wasn't created first, rather that the first being created of dust was in the image of God, Elohim, a plural God, a distinction that we only know if we know Hebrew, that reflected the male and female aspects of God, and at the time of the separation of flesh, was created distinct genders. So, woman and man were created at the same time in this story. About the crazies on the street corners chanting Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. All I gotta say is, come on, people. This is a story about populating the earth. We're really not in need of populating any more than we already have. I think you'll find that after scratching the surface a little bit, the story doesn't imply everything that we blame it for. But of course, we wouldn't be true to the story if we didn't play the blame game. That's what it's all about, right? There's a lot of pointing fingers in this text. It was Eve's fault. No, it was the snake's fault. Well, who put the tree in the garden in the first place? Maybe it was God's fault. Certainly wasn't our fault, right? After all, this isn't our story. It's about Adam and Eve and the apple and the snake, right? Well, get ready. Pay attention, because here it comes. In Spanish, they say, we say, cuéntame. Tell me a story. Rebecca, tell us the story.
Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one is taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of all the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of that tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I command you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals, and among all wild creatures, upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made garments of skins for the man and his wife and clothed them.
It's a good story though, huh? Don't you love it when someone reads you a story and it comes to life before you? It's a good story. Just like other biblical stories, the story of Adam and Eve is a story of a people, the Israelites. It's not unlike other creation stories of its time. We could easily get stuck on all the stuff that rubs us the wrong way. And trust me, I can get all fired up about it because there's a lot in this text that rubs me the wrong way. It's easy to blame these fools for writing a text that gives women pain in childbirth and makes men have dominion over their wives and all sorts of wrong things. But like all good biblical stories, we know that this is a metaphor for life. We can pull out the pieces that work for us and maybe ignore or throw away the stuff that doesn't. Because metaphors are powerful. And here in this story, we have a metaphor that can and perhaps even should be applied to our lives. And like all good biblical stories, we learn to distinguish what of the story belongs to its original culture, that part that we can appreciate for what it is and maybe not take with us as we go. And then there's the part that belongs to us, the universal listeners of the story. One of my good friends, conservative Rabbi Amitai Adler, writes, "The Eden story is a metaphor for the childhood of the human race. The curse given to Adam and Eve is really, if one looks at it, not a curse so much as a simple description of life in the mortal world. We work to earn our bread. Difficulties confront us. Even the bringing forth of children, which ends and begins with joy and sweetness, has a lot of pain in between. Everything comes at a price, and all is too brief. This is the world we have, though, for every person, and really, in some sense, for every animal as well. And the real difference between the animals or the human beings in their first innocence of species childhood, the ones we read in the story, and the reasoning, aware, developing human beings that the race has become is the knowledge of good and evil. The tree that Adam and Eve ate from is not merely, as often misquoted, a tree of knowledge, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when the eyes of Adam, that is to say the human race, Adam being Hebrew for human being, when the eyes are opened, humanity is able to grow, to take up its own place in the world, because they become moral beings, for whom free will is not an abstract exercise. Only through moral struggle in the context of a difficult world do we achieve wisdom of deeper truths. This sort of truth is hard won. But in it, we have the precious opportunity to gain not only wisdom, but compassion for others. And through the combination of these two latter things, we open the doorway to God's own domain. That's what a true story does, after all. Opens the doorway to God's own domain. That's the difference between historical factual and true. There's truth in this story. Where is it true for you? I love that old Native American saying, I don't know if it happened this way, but I know it's true. And that's a good story. Amen.